Voices we don't always hear in conversations about conflict resolution. Young people.
Peace means no big arguments and everybody's happy.
Just being calm and peaceful.
I think peace means no fighting. You can be yourself without being judged, and you don't have the fear of being interrupted or being bullied.
Also, high school students who are members of their Model UN.
Maybe instead of trying to be the loudest person in the room, I'll try and just sit back, listen, and then maybe see if we become a collective working to the goal, rather than just trying to like further our own initiative.
It just kind of like, Model UN really helped me be more receptive towards the other person is saying and more malleable when it comes to like compromises. I mean, nobody's supposed to be happy with a good compromise, right?
Coming up today on Peace Talks Radio, Youth Voices on Peace. This is Peace Talks Radio, the radio series and podcast on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. Whether it's the search for inner peace, harmony in our closest relationships, or understanding in our workplaces, schools, neighborhoods, and beyond, we explore it here on Peace Talks Radio. From personal moments to global movements, we consider what it takes to build a more peaceful world. I'm Jessica Tickton. On this episode of Peace Talks Radio, we talk with fourth graders who are just beginning to think about what peace means in their lives, and high school students deeply engaged in diplomacy and global problem solving through their Model United Nations program. We also hear from a classroom teacher who shares how she manages conflict among students day to day, helping them learn empathy, accountability, and repair. What can we learn about peace at school, at home, and in the world when we listen to the next generation? When we ask kids about conflict, they remind us that emotions, misunderstandings, and trust are all part of relationships, and peace often begins with a conversation. I visited a fourth grade classroom in Burlington, Vermont. After a spirited discussion about what peace means to them, these young people gathered in groups of friends. I was then able to go a little deeper into asking them about some of their conflict resolution strategies. Here's what a group of four 10-year-old girls had to say.
Within your friendship, do you guys have any conflict?
Yes.
I gotta say a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna say names, but we were supposed to write this report and it was a misunderstanding, I'm pretty sure, but some people spread some rumors about somebody's report and it made this somebody feel sort of bad.
I talked to that person at the end of the day who felt hurt and we talked it through. And I said, I'm sorry, it was a misunderstanding. I apologize. And,
yeah. Well, I did the same thing, and I also told them how it hurt my feelings.
My strategy is taking space if I'm the one who's being hurt, or if the person who is hurt, if they like clearly asked to have space, I'm just gonna give it to them, because that's what they asked, and we should respect that.
So one thing is to give space, another thing is to talk it through, another thing was, you said, saying sorry. What else?
Maybe also talking to the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Talking to an adult to help you resolve it.
Make sure it's a trusted adult.
Why do you think you said there's so much drama? What do you think, Sanella? What do you think that there's a lot of stuff going on? Even if you're not always a part of it, why do you think there's a lot going on?
There's a lot of misunderstandings.
I think we fight a lot about not important things, but it just makes us a little bit angry about the tiniest things, and then we make it into a fight just because we felt hurt about that one little thing.
So it sounds like it's easy for your feelings to be hurt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And also especially if you're like going through a hard time, like all those feelings, if like you haven't let them go yet, it like adds to the hurricane, and then sometimes the hurricane has to rain and it just all rains out at that one time when they made you feel really angry.
Mm-hmm. So it's about managing our feelings, it sounds like, right? You all have feelings. Sometimes it's about something not related at all to the thing that's going on, but
yeah. And then
but it's also like that.
And then you might, by mistake, like, take it out on the person who hurt you, but also there was another thing that was unrelated to them and you by mistake took it out.
These fourth graders illustrate that even the youngest members of our community are learning the tools of peace. Listening, taking space, apologizing, and being honest about their emotions. This is Peace Talks Radio. I'm Jessica Tickton, talking to young people about peace. While the girls reflected on how misunderstandings and hurt feelings can build up, sometimes requiring space, apologies, and honest conversations to repair, for other students, peace building can sometimes be as simple and quick as a game of chance, like rock, paper, scissors. I went to speak with a group of 9 and 10-year-old boys whose approach to conflict was a little bit different. Whether it's wrestling with siblings or arguing over whose turn it is, they offer their own tools for sorting things out and then moving on. From rock, paper, scissors to the art of compromise, these boys are already tapping into the fundamentals of conflict resolution, communication, fairness, and creativity.
All right, so you guys are friends, right?
Yeah.
So, do you guys feel like you get along well?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
Like, yeah, no, we eat.
Well, we play fight sometimes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes.
But
sometimes.
We, it's like, for
remember
like.
Bag ball.
What are the arguments, like, around friends, like the things that come up between you that make you get upset?
Well, we argue about who wins games.
Mm. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh yeah, but like who wins the game. Yeah.
And then like, but it doesn't last long. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't
like,
last
the
long.
Next day, like an hour later, we're all just like friends again.
Later, yeah. Care.
What are the things like, that make you actually feel angry?
There's not really anything that makes us that angry.
Yeah.
I can get super angry if like someone like, if like someone's like, cheating a lot and like saying they're winning.
So if someone were to break your trust, would that make you, what would that make you feel?
Well, like, we'd probably be friends again later, like, the day.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'd probably, like, forget about it.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Like, I'd probably, like, forgive them, too.
How does it feel when you forgive somebody?
Good, because then they can start being your friend, and you don't have to be, like, trying, like, even though they are your friend, you don't have to be, like, pretending you hate them.
Sounds like you guys have some tools that you've learned, like even in this classroom, like when things don't maybe go your way or you feel like you want something you're not getting, what are the strategies you use right away to try to like make a case?
Rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, we do that a lot to see who goes down the wet slide.
Oh yeah, we did that today.
Or sometimes we're just like both, like if we can both do it, we'll both do it. So then like, you don't have to fight.
And what about like at home when you, let's say, with siblings, sometimes that can be more intense. Do your parents have some strategies they use to help you guys sort out arguments with siblings?
Well, my parents
usually
just stop us.
My
they
parents
just say stop.
Don't
stop.
Really stop us when we're fighting, so
oh, yeah, I've
they can get in. They can turn into really big fights from just like over a little thing like.
If you stepped on somebody else's cardboard
sailboat. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, usually, like, I don't fight, but then my brother fights, and then I have no choice but to fight.
Well, sometimes when I'm home and I'm bored, I just try to annoy my sister.
Same.
Yeah. She kind of just runs away, so we never really get in fights.
Well, sometimes... Sometimes, like, me and my brother fight for fun. Like, we aren't angry at each other, but we just start, like, fighting on the couch.
Yeah, me and my brothers do, like, daily wrestles.
We're, like, wrestling. Yeah,
so what advice would you have for people who are in an argument and need to sort it out? What kind of tools would you
have? Well, figure out what you both want, and then you can see if you can get something that's, like, in the middle of what you both want.
Try to make a compromise.
Rock, paper, scissors, or try to make a compromise or something like that. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take it global. What do you think could help us have more peace in the world? Like leaders or politicians or people in positions of power, what could they do to help make more peace?
They could make it fair for, like, everyone, and everyone gets the same, not some people get more and some people get less.
Well, they could make it so that, like, if you feel like you're getting mad, you should probably just, like, take a deep breath or something.
Yeah.
Even when the wrestling gets rowdy, there's a foundation of connection between these boys, and a growing awareness that peace isn't just about avoiding conflict, but about finding ways through it together. This is Peace Talks Radio. I'm Jessica Tickton. Today's episode features youth voices on peace. Creating a classroom isn't always easy. In a time when many young people feel disconnected, one elementary school teacher is building something different, a classroom rooted in respect, belonging, and shared ownership. Dani Banky doesn't just teach academics. She helps kids learn how to listen, support each other, and grow into thoughtful citizens. In my conversation with her, we hear how she cultivates peace, one circle, one conversation, and relationship at a time.
That sense of belonging and sense of community aspect is at the heart of my teaching philosophy. I got very lucky with this group. They are an exceptional group of kiddos, but as far as really blending and coming together as a community, it definitely didn't just happen. We do circle every morning. I just think it's a really beautiful way to start the day together. And sometimes we'll end the day with a quick closing circle as well, being something as simple as what made you smile today or what were you grateful for today. And the most special part of that is that there's a little bit of energy and chatter or excitement sometimes, but for the most part, they're able to fully listen to each other, making eye contact and listening to their peers about how their weekend went or something that exciting that's going on in their life. They genuinely respect each other in a way that I've never seen before.
How do you like foster that kind of respect in the class aside from like circle time? How do you as the teacher help them, give them tools?
I never want to be seen as like the person who has the power in the class. And I think that's also a little progressive, but I never want to be punitive. I never want it to be like, this is my classroom. I opened the year saying this is our classroom. And we even made a contract together. I didn't give them expectations. We created them together. So that creation of a community as students and an adult brought us almost on an equal playing field where they know I respect them and then in return they respect me. It's like all based on just having authentic love for them. Like they know that at the end of the day, I'm here for them, whatever they need. They can trust me. I'm not here to tell them how to live their lives. I want them to explore the classroom themselves and explore their learning independently.
Dani says she's always learning from her students as well.
Really young people, they're not even preteens yet. They know a lot more about the world than adults expect them to or think they do. And that's a huge part of my practice as well, is engaging in criticality. We do that with a lot of anti-racist work together. And that has been, especially in our political climate this year, has been so healing for me, honestly, because in a time when we might be losing hope in the future of our country, I'm able to look at the future every day and be like, oh, you are all amazing humans, and I actually feel like it's going to be okay. And that really just comes from them showing up every day and being excited to be here and to engage in whatever the work is for that day.
When do you feel like your class is most cohesive, when they're all really kind of in this zone together?
There's two different spaces where I see that. There's like the playful space, something as simple as, you know, sharks and minnows outside.
If you aren't familiar with this game, like I wasn't, I asked one fourth grader, Mabel, to explain it to me.
Sharks and Minnows is a game where there are two people who are the sharks and a lot of other people who try to run from side to side without getting tagged. And if you get tagged by one of the sharks, you become seaweed, and you have to try to tag other people, but while standing in the same spot.
And your teacher says that this is a game where she finds your whole class is really into it, and she calls it cohesive. Do you know what that means?
No.
It means that you're all come together.
Well, a lot of people just like running and like doing that activity and then doing it together just like brings us together more.
This is Peace Talks Radio. I'm Jessica Tickton. Today we're talking to youth about peace. We are also speaking with Dani Banky, a fourth grade teacher, about how she cultivates peace and a sense of belonging in her classroom.
And then there's that academic space where if we're in like a pretty intense class discussion, we do a lot of like Socratic seminar-esque class discussions that are related to the real world. Those are really when I see their true selves come out. It can be someone being like really opinionated, or it can be someone questioning another person, but it's like those real life skills where I'm seeing them come together as a class, as a community, and bounce off of each other's thoughts and ideas. And that's what I really love most, honestly, is like getting to witness that collective thinking happening.
Something that struck me when I was talking to these kids is how much love they have for each other. They really seem to care about each other. I was really struck with their willingness to quickly forgive mm-hmm. and to move on after conflicts because they just want to be together.
I feel like with this group in particular, if there is any emotional harm done by anyone in the class, to anyone in the class, it is addressed as a class. I do not, for the most part, unless it's like private, I do not address it with just the kid who did the harm or the kid who the harm was done to. We address it all together. This just happened a few weeks ago, and it was some kiddo had verbalized to me, like, everyone hates me. And that, you know, that's like full stop. We had a circle, and I let that other kid take a break and calm down because they were very heightened. And I had talked to the class before he had come back in and said, this is not acceptable. A member of our community does not feel loved or welcomed here. That is not how we do things, and you all know that. And he's really upset, and so I'm really upset. It doesn't just affect him, it affects me, and it affects our community, and we need to all feel safe here. And when the kiddo came back in, they were super apologetic. They welcomed him with open arms. They reassured him that he is loved and he is welcomed, and it was resolved, right? But
did they follow that up with, did you see following that up with action in the coming days?
Oh yeah, 100%. And then we also, after we had kind of, you know, resolved and had a closing conversation with him there, we went out and played a game all together, and like it was like everything was fine, right? And they were being extra, I think, mindful of engaging with him and making sure he felt extra part of the game, right? And that's really what I love about this age group that you wouldn't really see with middle or high school, where they just want to resolve things so that they can be together. And that's really where the peace comes in. It's like they value the idea of peace in a way that adults maybe don't, as much so as we should, which is what we are here for. And I think something really important to me is like modeling peaceful and healthy relationships with adults. My special educator, Allie, she's amazing, and her and I have such a beautiful relationship, and the kids notice that and they see that. I love doing closing circle because it just ends the day on a really good note as well, even if it's like a 5-minute check-in where we can just be like, what was something that you were grateful for today? Practicing that gratitude, because that brings me peace. Like I do that with my partner every night before bed. We're like, what were you grateful for today? Because it really resets kind of just like where you are and where you're going for the next day, right? It kind of just resets you. I love doing that with them because sometimes the answers are outrageous, but sometimes they're really wholesome and really sweet and just as simple like you, like thank you. And it's, you know, sometimes this job can be a little thankless. So something as simple as that, it really fills your cup up. It means a lot.
That was Dani Banky, a fourth grade teacher in Burlington, Vermont. Today we're talking with youth about their thoughts on peace. Now we hear from high school students who are learning to navigate conflict, not just in international diplomacy simulations, but in their everyday lives. Through their involvement in the Model United Nations,
These young peace builders are gaining skills in listening, compromise, and emotional regulation. I was lucky enough to be welcomed into this classroom after school one day when there were a handful of students hanging around chatting with each other.
I think that people often have sort of a tendency when in conflict situations to listen to other people but only be engaging in the conversation to speak. You know, they're engaging and just waiting to say what they have to say. And I feel like Model UN taught me to sort of listen to what other, it sounds sort of shallow, but like, you know, listen to what other people are saying and listen because they want to be understood too. So I feel like Model UN taught me in a broader sense how to listen to other people's perspectives in a healthier way.
And I think two like main things, similar to what Rose said, where you have to like, one of them is it teaches you how to respond and like argue in like a respectful way and still be conscious of their opinions and see the argument from multiple perspectives and then work to solve it and not just work to like win the argument.
I think a lot of people end up very rigid in how they see the solution or just how they see the structure of debate happening within Model UN. And I mean, it kind of happens to be the people who are the loudest, who try to lead the most, end up having a very narrow perspective on how the resolution paper is supposed to look, which is just the final paper that is the result of Model UN. What I've learned is that we need to be a lot more relaxed. Like, the world's not going to end. Everybody here is speaking very informally, and sure, there are formalities most of the time. What I've learned is just to kind of relax a bit and be a bit more squishy in terms of my argument.
One of the most important skills that I've learned, and probably that I didn't start with when I first began Model UN, was mediation and knowing how to sit in a room because with people who are very opinionated, very smart, you know, who want to get their like opinions out, who want to speak. There's also awards that you get during conference, so people want to get those as well. And I mean, it's just a lot of commotion oftentimes, a lot of shouting sometimes as well. And what I've learned is how to, as someone who also likes to shout and voice their opinion, I've learned how to sit back and be like, you know what, maybe instead of trying to be the loudest person in the room, I'll try and just sit back, listen, and then maybe see if we can work together and become a collective working to the goal rather than just trying to like further our own initiative. I think that's really important.
I was impressed with their insights and their willingness to hear new and different perspectives. It was refreshing to hear how they led with kindness and respect. I asked them, if you could give advice to our world leaders, what would you say?
I feel like we need to get out of our echo chambers. I learned about this a lot, especially because I did this NSLC program. And it's National Student Leadership Council. I did an international relations program for about 9 days. And I met kids from all over the country and even all over the world. Like, I have friends now who live in Brazil, which is really cool. But I learned to be more open-minded because they had some of the same like core values as me and just the morals were the same. They might have felt differently about politics. And so it really made me open my mind and just listen to what they were saying. And I feel like it was really important because now I'm much more open-minded when I talk to new people. I feel like especially in Vermont, we live in such a bubble because almost everyone has the same political beliefs. And I love that I grew up here, and I think it's important to get out there and hear other people's opinions, and it makes you think of things you maybe wouldn't have thought of before.
I would just say to chill out a little bit, honestly. I mean, less in a physical way or an emotional way, but just people are very rigid in their what they believe. And it's fine to believe in something, but I mean, just because you believe in something doesn't mean that the other guy has to. Even if that other guy might be wrong in your opinion, they can be wrong and you can just agree to disagree. But I mean, people are just looking for reasons to get mad at other people because they fundamentally have differences. Maybe this isn't as serious as it needs to be, and maybe this isn't as pressing as it needs to be, and maybe you can live without them agreeing with you.
I think that this is going to sound really cringy, but I just think that we all need to be kinder to each other. I think a lot of, like, the root of these issues that the world is facing and also our country is that we're so polarized in opinions and in beliefs, but are we actually, if that makes sense? I think to at least some extent, we're all just, like, going about our lives. I mean, we all have problems that, like, aren't as big as, like, world hunger, you know, but are just very important to us no matter what. And I think that just, like, we need to understand that we're all just people, and even though that one person has a slightly different belief than me, that doesn't make them a bad person. I mean, maybe that just means I need to, like, kind of change my perspective and understand where they're coming from. And I think a lot of people have been talking about, like, open-mindedness. I think it's exactly what we need to do, and just not only be, like, open to other people's ideas, but also respectful of them, and maybe, like, okay, if I want to live in a world where what I believe in exists, maybe that means I need to, like, you know, also have that world be one that you enjoy as well, and you also want to live there, and you have your beliefs as well. And I think it's just about, like, being more respectful and kind to each other.
I think there are very few cases where disagreement warrants disrespect, and I just think that if you are having a conversation with someone, you're having the conversation with them to understand each other and hopefully reach some sort of common goal. And if you're doing that without any sort of respect for them as a person or their beliefs, even if you disagree, then it's not going to be a productive conversation. So.
Then we ended with a lively discussion with the question, when do you feel most at peace?
A lot of summers we get to go to Maine and swim in the ocean. It's really peaceful. You just float on your back in the ocean and, like, in a little cove, and there aren't any waves bothering you, and you're just kind of swaying back and forth.
I think I'm most at peace whenever I'm in nature, swimming, I don't know, just going for a run, like, I'm outside, the weather's nice, I'm skiing. Whenever I'm, like, outside, not, like, using my brain, if that makes sense.
I feel most at peace when I don't have any emotional burdens or responsibilities at that time. To connect back to what we were talking about before, conflict resolution, I think if more people understood how to effectively resolve conflict and carry their own emotional burdens and not make other people do it for them, it would take the pressure off of individuals, more peace.
So if we can start with peace, when we feel at peace, right? I mean, it's sort of going back to what you were saying. When you get more relaxed, you can engage with others, you can listen, you can be a little bit more open and porous instead of rigid, right?
Yeah. For me, it's like getting everything done is when I can be at peace. Like when there's nothing that needs to be done.
I'd say I'm most at peace when I'm building community or connections, whether it's somebody I've never met before and I'm learning about what they've been through, or I'm out on a hike and I'm outside connecting with nature. I think there's just something, I just love it. I think it's so peaceful.
That was a group of high school students in Burlington, Vermont. Through their involvement in the Model UN, these teens are learning how to hear beneath the shouting and how to help others feel seen and respected. Earlier in this segment, we heard from students in a fourth grade classroom, as well as their teacher, Danny Benke. Hear the full conversation or read the transcript at peacetalksradio.com. There's also a donate button for you to contribute to this nonprofit work and become a peace ambassador today. Support comes from listeners like you. Also, the Albuquerque Community Foundation Ties Fund. Support too from KUNM at the University of New Mexico. Nola Davis-Moses is our executive director. Ali Adelman composed and performs our theme music. For co-founders Paul Ingalls and Suzanne Kreider, I'm Jessica Tickton. Thanks so much for listening to and for supporting Peace Talks Radio.